And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. No! Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars! I started thinking, like, every week I should just make that more outrageous.
I'm almost expecting you to do Kermit the Frog. Yay!
Actually, one of my favorites, and I'll continue my intro in a second because I'm sure the music's playing by now, and I'm going to throw off all the music for 1 week. One of my favorite shows.
I know, I was just complimenting you the other week about how you time it perfectly, and now there it goes. It just sort of ran out.
I'm fucking it all up. And listeners, you don't know, we literally just before we started this said, okay, let's try to not have tangents. But just really fast, one of my favorite radio shows of all time is a show called Cabin Pressure. It's by John Finnemore. And in the opening, like the first kind of few episodes, they're just like, Cabin Pressure by John Finnemore, blah, blah, blah. But as the show progresses, it just starts getting more and more lavish. And they're like, this freak, that a duel, Cabin Pressure by John Finnemore, by the end of the show. And it's great. Anyway.
By the last episode, it's like, Cabin Pressure!
I wish. No, it was a really sad affair, because it was the last episode, so everybody was just like, meh. Anyway, but we're talking about Clone Wars. So in this episode, after combing the Coruscant underworld for a young fugitive, Plo Koon and Ahsoka pursue him to Florum for a climactic confrontation. Oh, I didn't write anything here.
There will be...
there will be...
Three things, come on, three things.
Plo telling Ahsoka to chill. Mace Windu playing Words with Friends, and Boba Fett being whiny and like, Mom, no. There will be Aura Singh and Hondo scarring the shit out of Boba Fett as they make out.
Shit out of everybody.
I know. We're talking about Lethal Trekdown this week. How are you doing, Chris? Even though I've just been talking to you our entire break.
Lethal Trekdown.
Did you have a good break talking to me?
I did.
Wait, I think we had a very good break. We talked about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and Dirk Gently. So that was fun.
And how Hope needs to read both of those.
Yeah, okay.
Hear that, yes. Readers? Readers. Listeners, Hope has not read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It is one of those things I know. I've been meaning to read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for years.
For years.
I know. And so I'm just like, I want to read it so bad. It's just one of those things, like, whenever I see it in a bookstore, I'm like, hey, I'm fucking poor. And then, like, when I actually have time, or I don't have time and I work. So, like, I know.
All you nerds out there, I know there's some of you that have extra copies of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, so...
They actually have these really, 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 really nice copies at Barnes & Noble's, and they're like, but it has like all of them in one book,
so I'm thinking... All together, yeah.
So I'm thinking about, I might give me one of those.
I have one of those, but it was before they added the fifth book, so I had to actually add the fifth book to it. But then I had to add the radio plays to it, too. There's so much Hitchhikers to be had.
You know, that might be a good thing to ask the person I was just telling you about to give me for Christmas.
Yeah.
So that might be a good thing, so. Anyway, a little track down. You want to get ready?
Ready.
I know, I'm about to read a lot, Lenny. Okay, so, here we go. Whoa. I, the tiger, thrill of the fight. As I choke on coffee. There we go. All right. Hi. Lethal Trekdown is the 44th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on April 30th, 2010. It was written by Dave Filoni, Drew Z. Greenberg, and staff writer Brian Larson, and it was also directed by Dave Filoni, so you know it's going to be bitchin'. It is the second part of a doubleheader that night in the season 2 finale! We made it! Some extra information for you. A lot of our regular actors were playing double duty in this episode. Matt Lantern, who is the voice of Anakin, played Thug Number 1. Jamie King, who is Aura Singh, was also the customs droid. Dee Bradley Baker, who is all the clones, was Bosk and Thug Number 2. James Arnold Taylor, who is Obi-Wan Kenobi, played Plo Koon, Fong Du, and Thug Number 3. Corey Burton, who is the voice of Count Dooku, was the bartender. And finally, our narrator Tom Kane was Thug Number 4. In case you like inconsistencies in Star Wars, some people too, I don't know. When Aura Singh asks Commander Pons his name, he states that it's CT-411 instead of CC-6454, as provided by the Star Wars Clone Wars Visual Guide to Ultimate Battle Sourcebook. His designation was later revised as CC-0144 in the Star Wars Clone Wars Character Encyclopedia to confirm more to Lethal Trackdown's inconsistency. Because I love clones... if this is not new information. I wanted to give a shout-out to Commander Pons, since this was his last appearance. His first appearance was the First Battle of Geonosis in Episode 2. He gathered 5 commando teams and fought with Mace Windu to help Jango Fett. Afterwards, he was assigned to Mace as his commander. He fought to help liberate Ryloth from the Separatists and was the leader of the Lightning Squadron. He fought with Mace against the Zilla Bees, and in all, he had 7 appearances. Here we go. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni says... I was going to direct Lethal Trackdown. I put more thought into this trilogy of episodes than I have with anything else we've done. I gave Florim a complete overhaul. I wanted Hondo's place to feel like they've been stealing all this military gear because of the Clone Wars. It was a big goal of mine to make the place look better. I had Hondo's office modeled after my own because it's a mess. I told them to use it as a reference because I need stuff all over the place in Hondo's office, like he's a hoarder, like he collects stuff. I fabricated a relationship between Aura Singh and Hondo to give her a reason to go back there, and to give another dimension to both characters. I thought that it was a fun thing to do. Hondo's a kind of charming guy, so why not? Also, identifying that Hondo knew Boba's dad, that was a very key ingredient. I was talking to Kevin Kiner about how I wanted a certain sound to the music. I wanted to have distinct themes to these episodes, which is something we really haven't done in the Clone Wars, and it's something I wanted to do. I wanted a thing for when Boba was thinking about his father. This little boy singing a sad a cappella theme represents Boba's possible good nature, and all the twisted harmonic sounds represent Aura Singh and the evil future he might have. We have the music with this play back and forth, which we've really never had before. You get that complete feeling when you watch these 3 episodes. And finally, just a small thing I wanted to point out from the featurette was when they show a picture of Dave Filoni's office. He had this awesome-looking Dr. Doom statue sitting on a throne on his desk. And back in the window, he has a stuffed animal of the character Appa from Avatar The Last Airbender, which Filoni directed many episodes of.
Huh.
Yeah, I paused the feature, and I was, like, looking at all the shit in his office. And, of course, he has a bajillion and 12 Star Wars toys. But, like, this Dr. Doom, it's one of those... It was easily maybe, like, 9 inches tall. It was, or maybe more, maybe even a foot, but it took up, like, an entire corner of his desk, and it was a really cool Dr. Doom statue. And then I was like, that's Appa all the way back there, Appa! Which Dee Bradley Baker is actually the voice of.
Yeah, I think if I ever had a Star Wars-related job, that would be one of the things I would try to, like, negotiate, is that, like, I would get any Star Wars toy related to any of the... whatever I'd worked on. So any show that I'd ever, or movie that I ever worked on, I get all the toys. That would be awesome.
I know. I will always... Oh, what's his last name? Played Finn. John Bedoya? Bedoyka? But the Hot Finn. Hot Finn. I remember the first time he saw a toy of himself, he was just like, it's me! It's tiny me! It's me! Like, he was so excited.
I would be too.
I mean, no, it's not every day you get a toy made of yourself. So, yes! You know who also toys with himself?
Oh, it's me!
That's a good segue, go me!
It's tiny me!
I wouldn't tell women you're tiny.
Mmm. size matters not.
It's the motion of the force ocean.
Waddle waddle.
Oh, it's still fresh from last week.
Okay. Revenge is a confession of pain. In bed.
That one's odd, too. You know, these last few weeks have been really good for, like, the episodes. They're not really good for our embeds.
But not for the embeds, yeah.
Not as good.
Hasn't been a great... I don't know. Like, 2 weeks ago, that one might have cursed the embeds for a little while. It might take them a little while to get back on track.
It might be. So it's probably a good thing.
See how season three goes. We might have to break out the fortune cookie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Our emergency fortune cookie. This one was kind of close, but not quite there yet. So, all right. I put down my cross stitching. All right. So, ready for act one?
Oh, I'm ready. All right.
I was born ready. I remember I wrote a lot. Anyway. All right.
You always act write one. A lot.
I know. I hope you guys like it.
Let Hope me know writes what you guys... a lot. What do you like? Like words or something?
Yeah, it's not
Hope's
like I have
gay for words.
Gay for... I am very gay for words. Since, like, heart stars and horseshoes, clovers and... gay for words. I love words. I could not live if I could not write. Like, it's just... Yeah. I would not be able to function if I couldn't write. It's my life. Anyway, so... Act one, as I'm gay for words. To recap last episode, Boba Fett and Aura Sene kidnapped three Republic officers, Admiral Killian, Commander Pons, and one who hasn't been named, so I'm just going to call him Thimble. I don't know, I was like, the first random object I thought of was Thimble. Since
Thimbleina.
Thimble! Thimbleina.
Thimbleino.
Aw. Since Windu and Anakin broke their asses last week, it's up to Plo Koon and Ahsoka to find the officers. Now that we're all caught up, Boba is having feelings. He's been listening to way too many screamo bands like Black Veil Brides and Sleeping with Sirens, and it's messing with his hormones and his the authorities personality. He sits with Admiral Killian and gives him some water. He then admits that this isn't what he wanted. Killian tries the Jedi mind trick without the Jedi and says that Boba doesn't have to do this. When Killian says that he knows a good soldier when he sees one, Boba goes into a Harry Potter Year 5 rage, saying, "I'm not like these clones here. I'm a teenager. Hear me roar." And Aura comes back there like, "What the hell are you doing back here, boy?" And she starts bitch-slapping the hell out of Killian, and Boba's scarred for life a bit more. Meanwhile, back in the temple, Anakin's like, "Mace, I'm in a rage! You should be too! We should go get this kid and give him the spanking of his life!" And Mace is just like, "Dude, that's not the Jedi way," as he continues to play Words with Friends on his tablet with Obi-Wan. "Besides," he says, "we're fighting a war. I got 99 problems, and Boba Fett ain't one of them." Plo Koon and Ahsoka come in with a plot-moving problem. The bounty hunters reveal they took hostages. They want to face Mace, or they will kill the men one by one. Boba hesitates, so Aura shoots Commander Pons right in the head. Pons. Pons, no. I guess he's ponding blood on the floor now.
Let's ponder that situation.
Oh, I just made myself sad because that last part was not in my notes.
Boy, that was sure cold cream.
Anyway.
Anybody get it? Anybody old enough? Pons cold cream? No. Oh. I'll go away now.
Okay. Windu wants to go now that there are hostages involved, and Plo Koon is like, "Set your broken ass down. Me and Ahsoka got this." After a moment on the Slave One, Aura shoves Boba under the wall and says, "Next time I tell you to pull the trigger, you do it." And Boba's like, "Damn, woman, chill out a second. That Pond guy has my future face on him." Cassius is still bitching and griping from last episode, and Aura's like, "When we get to Florum, I'm personally kicking you off this ship."
Yeah, he's getting annoying.
Very fat. He's not. Yeah, all he's done.
You know what? I figured out who he is. He's McGruff. Who? He talks like McGruff the Crime Dog.
Take a bite out of crime.
Oh my god, he does.
He's like he's a whiny McGruff the crime dog.
I just loved him a little more now. Oh my god, he is. Oh my god. Chris, that's perfect. Yeah. So what did you think of Act 1, Chris?
Oh, wet blanket, still wet. He's wet blanketing Anakin's revenge. Nothing that guy can't wet blanket.
You know, between, like, the Zillabies episode and Anakin was just like, let's do this Vader thing, and then, like, now this episode, I'm wondering, like, why Windu's not like, you're a weird Jedi. We might need to have a meeting about you and the dark side sometimes. Like, we just, yeah. Anyway, go on.
I love the sound design of Slave One.
Yeah.
And that it's, I mean, that's the sound design. I mean, they're like, you saw Slave One a little bit in Empire Strikes Back, a little bit in Episode Two, and that's it. But this one, you get to see it flying around a little bit more, and it's doing some different things, but the sound, it sounds like the Slave One, you know. You not only see it, but you hear it, and that's one of the great things about the cohesiveness of Star Wars is its sound design.
I just thought of something, and I'm so sorry to interrupt, but spoilers for the end of the episode, the Slave One explodes. So is the one in the future movie Slave 2, or they just rename it Slave 1 Jr.?
Slave 1.5. Yeah, anyway. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because it explodes. Did they go back and salvage? Actually, it's on Hondo's planet. He probably salvaged the ship, and Bubba's like, I want my ship back. He's like, good, because I rebuilt it!
Yeah,
pay
yeah.
Pay me now.
And, I mean, by the time you see it in Empire Strikes Back, it is beat to shit, so.
That's true. You know?
It might have hit something else that exploded, you know? It might have hit, a gas tank or something and blew up that, too, you know?
That is very true, because it's like comic book rules. We don't actually see the ship explode. No, we just saw, the plume and the fire.
See a fireball, yeah.
Which is actually a plot for a later episode, but not right now. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, that's about all I had. There was a pretty creepy scene of the clone body drifting away. And I like how Anakin named him, too, you know, just to go with the whole Clone Wars theme, you know, he's like... His name was Pond, you know?
That was Pond. yeah, okay. Way to, just rub salt in my clone-loving wounds. Because, yeah, ouch, Clone Wars, that's my feelings. Like, just seeing Pond's lifeless body in space. Thanks.
That's what we were sort of expecting to see with the clone cadets when they abandoned him last episode, you know?
Yeah.
That was the cold-hearted Aurra Sing that we were expecting.
You know, I was thinking about that, and I think the only reason they didn't do that is because of that this is still a kids' TV show. Like, we're so used to seeing adult clones dying all the time, but if we saw, a bunch of, kids just floating in space on a kids' TV show, I think that's a little bit too far. I'm pretty sure that would scar children.
Yeah.
They'll get over it.
Yeah, it's good for them.
Death and destruction's good for the children. Anyway, so continuing from the episode Death Trap, I really like seeing Boba struggling when it comes to facing other clones, because when Killian was like, "You're a good soldier," and he looks at Pons and Thimble, and he's just like, "I'm not like them." But we were talking about how in Death Trap, he could easily have found a family with the clones. They would have just accepted him.
Well, he's right at that age, too, where you start trying to really cement down your identity, you know, or get a hold on your identity. So, you know, he's somewhere between, you know, he's literally been stripped of his father, so he has no parents. So now all he's got is Aurra Sing, and it's between, you know, his genetics and, you know, his chosen life. So it's, yeah, so he's probably very, he's more confused than the average pubo.
because we don't get, like, the seasons upon seasons of storylines with Mace and Ponza like we do with Anakin Rex, I do like that moment when Ponza is shot. Like, Mace looks very pained. And so, like, even though we don't know a lot about their relationship, like, that still hurt Mace because that was his commander. And that was a very, like, nice moment for Mace right there.
Yep, the blanket warmed up a little bit.
Hey, it's warmed up for his clone boo.
Still wet, but warm.
Yeah. It was nice, like if you peed on the blanket and like put it down. It was nice and hot.
Don't pee on his blanket and tell him it's raining.
Oh. Anyway. Oh, no, you just, like, laid it out over a fire, so it's, like, just starting to dry a little bit, but it's still warm and a little damp, and then you, like, grab it around yourself, and you're like, yes. Or, like, a moist towel that you get, like, in a sauna or, like a Japanese hibachi or something.
Yes.
Yes. Just like that.
Yeah, like the towels that the old-timey barbers used to put on your face.
Yeah. That, too. Yeah, that's a good one as well. Yeah, I don't have anything else for Act 2, or Act 1.
All right. I'm ready to go on to Act 2, then.
All right, so what I did is I split, like, the Bounty Hunter story into one group, and then I'm going to do the Plo and Ahsoka story after that. So okay. I split them up. So, Act 2. The bounty hunters arrive on Florum. Aura greets Hondo with her tongue and makes out with him while Boba Fett is like, oh my god, again I am scarred for life. They're like evil Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. She introduced Boba as Jango's son, and Hondo immediately softens. He comforts Boba, and the kid eases up a little bit. When she says that Cassis is getting up Florum, Hondo's like, I know from experience that men don't do well under Aura's command. And he has flirty eyes with her, and Boba's like, oh, I want to gouge my eyes out. It's probably best that Hondo's shot is from the waist up, because the way he's talking to her, it's like he has a raging boner. They all go inside for drinks. Aura might be nasty, but she's not one for underage drinking, and she won't let Boba have some alcohol. She also watches Castus as he calls a friend and bitches more about their mission. She hacks into Castus' phone call and then shoots the guy dead when he starts saying some information. Hondo's like, God, I'm so in love with you right now. Let's go make pale, spiky babies somewhere. And Bubba's like, holy shit, I'm scarred for life for the third time in this episode. Please, somebody get me a therapist for my night terrors. Anyway, with the Jedi. Plo Koon and Ahsoka descend into the underbelly of Coruscant to look for other bounty hunters that used to run with Jango Fett, like Aura does. Or Aura did, not anymore. After 5 attempts of various bars, Plo Koon is like, Ahsoka, you need to chill and stop being like Anakin. Channel your inner Obi-Wan or your wet blanket Windu for crying out loud. Look, kid, just sit and listen because drunk people talk. Inside this, like, awesome discotheque, Plo Koon asked the bartender for some information. The bartender is like, wow, it's been a long time since we had Jedi. How's that war going for you? And Plo's like, shut up, man. Ahsoka channels her inner Jar Camel and listens. I threw in that Jar Camel for you. She picks up on Cassis's friend and hears that he was murdered on Florum by Aurra Sing. The thugs realize that Ahsoka is eavesdropping and she's surrounded by blasters. Whoosh! A lightsaber sounds out, and Plo Koon breaks up the fight. Ahsoka tosses some credits at them for drinks all around, and they head out for Florum.
Okay, so I don't think Hondo and Aura are, like, dating.
They're friends with benefits.
They have dated in the past, yeah. Because he has that comment when he sees Boba, is like, oh, this is not one of mine, is it?
Yeah, also, like, I think when in the bar, they, like, one of the other guys, like, when Ahsoka's eavesdropping on him, he says that Aura is the boss's ex.
And like, that comment, though, there's no way if they had a kid it would look anything like Boba Fett, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think either of them could make a baby that looks like that without having some sort of either, like, weird color to their skin or scales, at least.
Yeah, some that's what I plating. Said. Pale, spiky babies.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's like a turtle, and she's like a salamander or something, you know?
Yeah, she's like a zombie salamander.
Yeah, yeah.
With a little bit of a punk rock edge to her.
I like that Hondo has, and once again, here we go outside of Hope's wheelhouse, but he's got Klingon dogs for pets there.
I see, they reminded me of, like, Harley Quinn's hyenas.
And, when they're traveling down into the lower levels, wasn't that going to be a Star Wars video game, like, right on the edge of when Disney bought it and then it got scrapped in the whole Disney buyout thing? There was going to be, I think, a video game set in these lower levels that was going to be more of a gritty sort of game. I remember almost an exact same shot of them going down, you know, down into the lower levels of... Except I think it was supposed to be Coruscant, but I'm not sure.
Well, that's where they are. They're in the lower levels of Coruscant.
Of Coruscant. So I think there was supposed to be a game that was going to be set in that, and that got scrapped. I love the Muppet fight. You don't often get to see a Muppet fight. And just the great little details. Their transport, when they come in, has ads just playing on the side of it like a billboard.
Yeah.
I thought that was a nice little touch. I don't think I really thought about it the first time I saw this, but man, the animation of the disco lights in this bar really was really good. You know, they mm-hmm. didn't, it was hitting all, you know, I mean, with CG, I'm sure you could just set which kind of lights you want and stuff, but these were like real bar lights, and the way the colors played on it, it was just a really nice effect, and it added something to that whole scene that we haven't seen in, like, your standard Star Wars bar scene, you know? I really liked it.
I had the return of the disco music, like the techno music, but that was like, I didn't mind it as
it
much
makes
because
sense there, you're in a bar, you're in a nightclub.
Yeah. Though I will say, when they went into into Hondo's bar, my Netflix subtitle said that it was exotic hip hop, and I was like, that is definitely more like an Eastern, like Hindi Indian theme.
Yes. Yes.
Not exotic hip hop. Well, it could be Indian hip hop, I guess.
Indian hip hop would, I guess, be exotic hip hop, I guess, if you're not from India.
That's true. Hey, so what did you think of, like, the surprise of, like, Aura Singh and Hondo, and, like, how... I like that about their characters, that they, you know, it's not just like, I'm Hondo, and it's like, I'm not just an evil bitch. Like, they actually seem like they really care for each other.
Well, you know, I mean, the honor amongst thieves, you know? That's the thing, is bounty hunters are in a gray area. And they don't all have to be completely horrifying human beings. You know, Hondo has a soft spot for kids, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if I was in the Star Wars universe, that might be more of the kind of life I would rather choose than, like, say, fighting in the Empire or the Rebellion. Might be more fun to be a smuggler or a pirate.
But, like, I'm talking about, like, their actual, like, relationship. Like, do you think that it helped in improve, like, Hondo and Aura's character at all?
I don't know if it improved it. It definitely shaded it a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense, you know, that these people would be running in the same circles, and they'd probably hook up. They're bounty hunters. Bounty hunters, pirates, all those people, they're scoundrels, but they also like some fun, you know? They're living their life, you know, all at once, so, yeah, of course they're hooking up.
Yeah, and I also really like the added detail that Hondo knew Jango Fett. Like, that's a really good detail, and I like, especially for, you know, the end of the episode, when that makes Boba... I think that made Boba trust Hondo.
Well, I'm sure,
very
important for Boba. Boba was, you know, to hear something nice about his father.
Mm-hmm. Like, that was just a good moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, a really good moment for Hondo, too. I mean, like, we're so used to, like, I'm Hondo, Naka, blah, blah, blah. But, like, he was generally sad. Like, he was just, like, he was a good friend. Like, it was... I would like to see... I actually would like to know more about Hondo and Jango. Like, I think that's a really, like, cool story I would really love to see one day. Because outside of episode one, we don't really have a lot with Jango, do we?
It's two. Interesting because, like, we were talking about it would be great to see Cad Bane take Jango, or take Boba under his wing. But, I'd like to see, Hondo take it. You know, the difference, like the Boba Fett that ends up would probably be more of, like, the effect of a Cad Bane than a Hondo. And
yeah.
That Hondo would probably make a more humanistic one. Yeah, I'm surprised that there hasn't been, like, a Jango Fett comic or a series of, like, the adventures of Jango Fett, because he has a totally open history to do that with, you know?
Yeah, and I guess what I would want, like, to see is, like, because how he's been presented so far, like, we saw, like, in the Mandalore arc, that, like, the Prime Minister of Mandalore was just like, Jango Fett was a bounty hunter, brr, 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 brr. Like, he's not really, Emily, we know that from canon, he's not actually Mandalorian and everything. While some, you know, some of the EU says that he was from Concord Dawn. And so, like, but outside of, like, so, like, he was really kind of ignored by his people, just kind of pushed away, and then he's kind of a disgrace to the Mandos and stuff like that, even though he's not Mandalorian. And so I kind of like this idea of, like, Jango being a really likable bounty hunter, and, like, so it seems like he has a lot of friends. Because, like, Aura knew him, Bosk knew him, Hondo knows him, you know, like...
Well, look at the clones, they're all likable. He was probably a really likable guy.
Yeah.
When we meet him in episode two, we don't get to see that, the fun love inside. He's very dour and just, like, a jerk in episode two, but you don't really get to see, you just see a tense standoff with him and Obi-Wan. But I'll bet you he was very much like Rex, and, you know, I'll bet you all those different clones were all, like, very similar to aspects of Jango's personality, you know?
Do you think that their personality, like, Jango's personality might have, like, transferred over to the clones? Because, like, we already know that the clones are so different, like, you know, like, Cut Up and Hard Case and, like, Fives are kind of jokers, but, like, Cody and Wolf are, like, super serious, but, like, Rex is, like... more brave and more courageous.
Well, it's like they all get little aspects of a single person's personality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All, like, people all have little aspects of that to them. And, so, yeah, I would totally think that they would. Yeah.
So, yeah, Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, get on that. Like, now that you bring it up, I would really like to see some Boba Fett, or some Jango Fett stuff. I would really, really enjoy that.
And it would be a neat contrast to all the clone characters. You know, we actually know the clone characters way better than we know the person that they're based off of.
Yeah, Mr. Clone Daddy.
Yeah.
So,
Clone Template, they call him.
Yeah, I like calling him Clone Daddy. So, I do always like seeing Ahsoka and Plo Koon together. Since he was the one that found her, and it's just, even though he probably had a really good chance of being her master, I like little adventures with them, just because he could have easily been his master, and he found, and you can tell how much Ahsoka, like, respects Plo.
Yeah.
So I always like them together. I love seeing the design, of course, of the Coruscant underworld, and just that massive tunnel going, like, hundreds and hundreds of miles into the planet. And when I was reading the EU novel Wild Space, there's this one section talking about how people born in the lower levels of Coruscant could easily live their entire lives and never see the sun.
Yeah, never leave their area. I could totally see that. There's people who live their lives like that now, so if you had a large underground city, I could totally see it. And you could see, like, when you get down there, it's just drabber and dirtier and cheaper.
Yeah. Even though we kind of already touched on this, I love seeing a softer side of Hondo when Aura sets up Oba as Jango's son. Unlike a lot of the bounty hunters, and even in the episode of Bounty Hunters, we know that Hondo is a pirate and he doesn't always have an honor code, but, like, when it came to Jango, like, I think that was the other good thing, because, like, you know, but in Bounty Hunters, you know, like, Sugi and Imbo were just like, Hondo, you're a pirate, like, you don't have an honor system. He was like, I know, I'm a pirate. But I think that was kind of telling about his relationship with Django, because he, and even like later on in the episode, we see this too. Like I think he was such good friends with Django that he honors that memory, and he's now protective of Boba.
Sure.
And
oh, yeah.
It was really nice to see Hondo in that moment, because he wasn't the whole lavish, like, I'm Hondo and not God. I will live forever. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not, well, you know, I mean, to say they're human, but, you know, it's not like they're inhuman, you know. I mean, people feel protective of a little kid, and he probably reminds him a lot of him when he was a kid, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, now I want to know about Hondo's family, like his daddy and his mommy. Like, what if they were great pirates, too? And he's like, I'm going to be a pirate like my daddy.
No, they were probably really boring, and he rebelled.
I was just about to say, like, maybe their parents
were,
like...
Or they were farmers, and they got killed, and he was, like, left on his own and had to scrap up to where he was or something like that. That's usually how that starts out.
Like, what if Hondo was actually, like, a prince, and he was like, I don't want to be the king of Hondo Land. I'm going to go be my own king of Pirate Land. I'm away with my pet hyenas. Hyenas! And he, like, rides a glorious hyena, but he's, like 4 years old, so it's just like when a tiny kid rides a big dog. He's just like, yay! I'm gonna be a pirate one day! One of my favorite moments... Oh, yes. One of my favorite moments of this entire episode was in the bar scene with Plo and Ahsoka, and she's listening into all the other conversations, because we don't usually get to hear how the war is affecting everyday people. And there's that one guy that was like, I'm losing my business because of this war. And so, like, that's a nice, like, little detail to throw in about, like, how the war is affecting everyday people.
And we don't there was even one that. Guy who was just like, I saw the greatest thing on TV last night.
Oh, no, he was like, I saw her on TV. And as the sound is fading out. And as the sound is fading out, he goes, wow, wow. I was just like, oh, snap. I like the two drunk guys. They're like, I'm going to date her. Like, talking about the Twilight dancer. He's like, no, I'm going to date her. No, I'm going to date her. But, like, seriously, though, like, I really like that moment, like, hearing how the war is affecting the everyday people. Because we usually get it from, like, the Jedi, the clones, or the bad guys, and stuff like that. But it's very rarely that we get, like, the ground-level people.
No,
like,
you
this
don't,
is how the war is fucking me up.
You don't hear a lot of small talk in Star Wars in any place at all, you know?
You don't get a lot of
day-to-day just sort of events.
And usually when we do get it, it's like Lermans or Fraggles, and it's like,
right.
Jedi, save us because of the war!
Right.
And it's not like, hey, my business is failing because of this war. So I really do like that moment a lot. And I really love the design of the bar. And like we mentioned, the lights and the techno music, but I actually like paused it a couple times to look at all the posters and the pinups on the wall. And I would like, they have like all different races with all these pinup girls, and I would love to see that fit artwork, like big and really clear one day. I even noticed like a picture of a sexy hut.
Well, that's like a parody of, in a lot of, like, especially, like, when I was a little kid in the 70s, you'd go to, like, some of the seedier bars, and they would always have this, it's sort of like a Victorian-era-looking picture of a large, naked woman, you know, very plump woman, and, like, with, like, frilly... So, like you would see, a, like, a madam in, like, an Old West... type of brothel or something, but that it's sort of like it was, that painting was everywhere, and I think it was it was very similar to, like, you know, the dogs playing poker painting. So
yeah.
I think that hut painting was them making fun of that, was sort of a tribute to the naked fat lady behind the bar pictures that they used to have.
Yeah, but I would love to see all the artwork, like, of all the pinup, like, Twi'leks and everything. I almost suffer for pinup art. Like,
they should
love,
make
like,
it for posters for people to hang up. Yeah, I'm sure people would love that.
Yeah, like, I'm a sucker for, like, pinup art. I think they're so pretty, and they're so well done, and they're so, like, just sexy enough, but still very tasteful. Like, I've always loved pinup art, and I think it's a really cool thing. And I just... I want it. I was gonna say something else, though, while you were talking. I forgot what I was gonna say, because it's not in my notes. Talking about the photos and the things and the things. What are you talking about? In the 70s and the mistress.
I was talking about the the Rubenesque lady painting.
And I lost it. I guess it wasn't that important. And then, like, at 3 a.m., I'm just going to be like, ah!
Oh, it's okay. Halfway through when we're talking about part three, you're going to go, oh, I know what it was.
Yeah, yeah, but I wish... I just wish we could have, like... Oh, I remember now!
Hey, there we go.
Hey! The reason I want that, too, is also just... I have, like, pictures and photos of this thing, is because someone took time to make those.
Yeah.
And I feel like they should be appreciated. Like, I always... That's why a lot of times in, like, games, like take Portal, for example. Portal's just a fantastic game. It's one of my favorites. But you get to these some rooms, and there's graffiti at different places, and there's, like paintings and, like, graffiti. And some artists took time to make that.
Yeah.
And that's why I would love, like, I always, like, in video games and stuff like that, I like seeing, like, taking time and, like, looking at all those. I'm one of those people, because some artists took time to make that. And I like to recognize that. And that's why I wish, like, a lot of these, like, background artworks and stuff like that were printed or, like, they have, like, image galleries of it or something. So, yeah. Like, something I didn't know.
Somewhere it was probably, who knows if it still is. I'm sure it was on a hard drive somewhere.
Yeah, and I also just found out recently that in Sabine's room, if you look for it, she has a spray painting of Cad Bane. And I want to know why.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I never
I wonder if he's a known character, like people have Che Guevara t-shirts and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I found that out recently. I was looking up Cad Bane for... I don't remember why, but I was like... And at the very bottom, in a tiny footnote, and I was like, and the Star Wars Rebel character, Sabine Wern, has a painting of Cad Bane on her wall. And I was like, what? So I Googled, like, Cad Bane, Sabine, and it pulled up a picture of it, and it's funny. It's definitely, like, it looks like a four-year-old drew it. But it's a little picture of Cad Bane, and there it is. And I was just like, oh, hey, cool. So, I kind of want to know why Sabine has a picture of Cad Bane painted on her wall. Anyway, ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so Act 4. Let me actually take a drink of my drink.
It's
drink
Act 3, actually.
That, too.
I don't know how we're getting into Act 4. That's crazy talk, Hope.
That's Act 4.
What kind of episode is that?
I don't know. So, anyway, Act 3. In Hondo's office, Hondo's like... Aura, you stepped in Jedi shit this time. Look, unless it's my BFF for life Kenobi, I'm not getting involved. But I won't hinder you either, so you can move around here freely. She has Bossk move the Slave One to the edge of town and tells them to get the hostages ready, quote-unquote, which is probably not a good thing for Killian and Thimble. And the Jedi arrive. Hondo greets Plo and Ahsoka going, hey, welcome to Florum. FYI, you're walking into a trap. They're in the bar. Also, FYI, I have nothing to do with this, so please don't arrest me. Okay, thanks. The bar is abandoned, except for Aura sitting at a table by herself. Plo enters alone, and Boba pops up behind him with a blaster to his head. He gets all bitchy about Windu not showing up, and Plo's like, chill, guys. Let's negotiate. Boba don't got time for that! Aura tells Bossk to be ready to kill the hostages at any moment's notice. Ahsoka jumps out and cuts the antenna off Aura's head just so she can't call Bossk. Ahsoka holds Aura at lightsaber point while Boba still has his blaster at Plo. Bossk can't get the messages anymore, so he's like, well, guess I'll have to look out for myself and kill the hostages in about 5 minutes. Sorry, dudes. Hiss, hiss. Aura tells Boba that Ahsoka isn't as metal as he is and won't kill her. Boba says that he's not a murderer and he just wants justice. And in the most Batman-like line ever, Plo says, we are justice. Boba doesn't want his evil mommy to die, and she tries to spook Plo with her boot. The Jedi knocks the table over to block it, and they fight, and it's awesome! And when Boba... It was actually way shorter than I wanted it to be. When Boba distracts everyone with a bomb, the two bounty hunters try to escape, but Plo force grabs Boba and pulls him back. Mommy, help me! I'm a lonely, useless little boy without you! Boba cries, and Aura Singh leaves his ass! and she steals a speeder, and Ahsoka grabs her own speeder too, and they race out of town. In a really funny moment, one of Hondo's men goes to take a shot at Ahsoka. Hondo just puts his hand on the gun and lowers it like, nah, this ain't our shit to get it mixed up in. Put that down. Plo brings Boba to Hondo, and when the boy won't reveal the location of the hostages, Boba is very upset, but for a good reason, because his mommy left him. And Hondo tells Boba that telling the Jedi is the honorable thing to do, and it's what Jango would have wanted. Plo calls into Ahsoka's speeder, saying that Aura is leading her away from the hostages. Ahsoka turns around and arrives just in time to save Killian and Thimble from Bosk. Oh, but evil Queen Aura is right behind her. She steals the Slave One, but not before Ahsoka disables parts of the ship. It spins off and crashes into the ground with Aura on board. Back at the Coruscant jail, Mace meets with Boba at the landing docks. Boba is like, yeah, I know I've done some really bad stuff, but you did this, Mace! You started it! I will never forgive you! And then Wet Blanket Windu is cold. He doesn't apologize. He doesn't try to comfort Boba. He flat out tells Boba to his face, "Welp, you're just gonna have to get over it." The end.
Yeah, that's the wettest blanket of all. Jeez.
I know!
That's an illustration of the failing of the Jedi at that point. Why they were in decline is, you know, I mean, Boba got more empathy from Hondo than he did from a Jedi. Why shouldn't, yeah. I mean, if Windu's being all high and mighty Jedi, is one of these, you know, really advanced Jedis, you know, he shouldn't really be who is preaching about like, I don't want my revenge and stuff. He's being a real dick to the kid who tried to kill him, you know. You would think the best thing to do would be actually to reach out, you know. It seems like this would be a great opportunity to reach out, you know. Especially where Boba's at this phase in his life where he could go either way, you know. So, yeah. Big fail for Mace Windu there.
And you know, like Anakin was saying earlier, he was like, "Why don't you want to get revenge on this kid that tried to kill you?" And Mace was like, "You know, it's not the Jedi thing to do." That is kind of his revenge on Boba. Like he could have reached out and worked it out, and like, you know, or at least apologized. Like, you know, I was just doing my job. I didn't want to kill your father. But no, he was just like, "And you got to live with it now."
Yeah.
Like, that is some hardcore revenge right there.
I mean, the kid is responsible for crashing a multi-trillion-dollar...
and killing, like, multiple clones, which are very expensive, too.
Yeah, but still, Jedis are supposed to be above that, like, revenge type of thing, especially with a kid, you know? I mean,
you know, if this was fanfiction land, it was because of Commander Pons and Boba killed his boyfriend. But continue. But continue what you were saying.
Even Aura, even though she abandoned him and stole his ship, she you could tell she liked him. You know, he was getting more from her than he did from the old wet blanket. So yeah. My only other note in this is it has an episode one pod race map in it.
I thought about the same thing.
That's right. I played the Pod Racer game, which was based on the map of the movie. And whenever I watch the movie, it's just like, oh, I know where the next turn is, you know, from playing the game so much. They were definitely using some of the Episode 1 Pod Racer in that footage, in that chase.
Yeah. For me, let's see what I have. I looked at the chronological order for Clone Wars, and the episode Bounty Hunters was before this one. I just wanted it just chronologically. So I was hoping there would be one tiny moment when Ahsoka arrived on Florum that she was going to be like, oh, it's Hondo. And Hondo was like, hey, I haven't seen you since the Fraggle Village. Give Kenobi the best. Like, they didn't even really acknowledge each other. And I'm like, but you guys just went through a Fraggle fight with each other. Like a few episodes ago. So I was hoping for the Hondo and Ahsoka would have, like, a little thing there. I'm sure... Okay. I feel like we need to have a long talk about how great these episodes are for Boba Fett and about his character and his transitioning and stuff, but I don't even know where to begin.
Well, they put so... I mean, you get a lot about... A lot to throw into his character in this. And then... He doesn't really become... I mean, we don't see him... Do we see... I mean, we see him again, right? I think...
Yeah, we do.
But he doesn't really become an ongoing character. So you have all this stuff to work with. And they could have used it more, I guess.
But, like, do you think that this was... a good thing to have this, to pretty much have Boba Fett there? Like, do you, until he can flesh out his character more and, sure. and stuff like that?
Sure. As a matter of fact, it's like, it's working better than the little kid Anakin, you know, as far as making sense in his development. Yeah. So, as a lot of stuff with the prequels and Clone Wars is handling it a little better, maybe because they have more time to do it on a weekly show basis, but...
Yeah. But I just...
Why, do you think it doesn't work?
No. I feel like there needs to be, like, some kind of conversation about, like, how these, like, three episodes have affected and changed Boba, like, you know, interacting with the clones, and interacting with the clone cadets, and, like, being around Aura, being around Mace, and being around, like, Hondo, and these people who knew his father. I feel like we need to have a talk about that, but I don't even know where to begin.
I think it would actually end up, yeah, turning him even more against the Jedi than he was before.
Yeah.
And now he's probably going into some sort of, you know, I don't know, like...
Penitentiary with other bounty hunters
or something, you know.
Yeah, but I just like, I think something that the Clone Wars does so well is fleshing out these, like you said, these prequel characters and these like characters like later on, because we Boba. I think what really did it for Boba was this: he faced multiple crossroads at multiple times, and he really did. Pick the path to lay in. Like, he chose his bed. And sometimes it was Aura trying to, like, smother him in the bed pillows. But, like, sometimes it was him just willingly choosing it. Like, he didn't at some point, like... I like the nice scene with Killian. He chose to walk back there and give water to Killian and, like, talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
But when Killian was like, I know a good soldier when I see one... Boba could have either been like looked at Ponds and Thimble and been like, oh my god, like I could easily have a family here. But no, like he completely like pulled back and away from it. And I think Boba's kind of scared to have a family because his only family was his dad and he died.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think he's terrified to have a family.
All he ever had was that he never even had a mom either, you know, so it's... He's got a weird family history.
Oh man, isn't that crazy that Aura Singh's probably his first like mother figure?
Yeah. I mean, literally, it's not. He doesn't even have like ghost mom, you know, or something like, you know, with Jango going, oh yeah, if your mother was here, or they're divorced or something. He's just like a flat out clone of his dad.
He's really gonna grow up to have his father's eyes.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But like. I think we could have an entire podcast on just Boba and the three episodes, and I don't know if I feel like I have the energy to get into that right now. Yeah. I think these episodes are just so good for Boba, and I think they were just so much needed. You could tell that Dave Filoni directed and wrote this episode.
Like the last one, it was very Star Wars-y feeling.
When I agree when like Boba Fett makes a better kid story than Anakin.
Yeah.
Man, if Boba was a Jedi, he could have been.
He's not.
Yeah. Can you imagine if Boba was Force sensitive and he became Vader? Good lord. That would have been a burned galaxy.
Yeah.
Burned in like teenage rage.
Yeah,
oh my god. He would have been more cold. He would have just, like, shot Palpatine in the head, like, the moment he turned... Like, the moment he, like, turned at a noise, he would have just shot Palpatine in the back of the head. And yeah. He would have been, like, Emperor Darth Boba.
Darth Boba.
Darth Boba, then no one would take him seriously. They'd be like, Emperor Boba, like, the tea? Boba tea? Boba tea, Boba's... All right. But, yeah, like, he would have been an evil, evil Sith Lord. Oh, anyway. And I then... the trick on fit. And then I just had one last question for you. Do you think, and I'm talking about also both as the standalone episode and as this trilogy, do you think this is a good season finale for this season?
It's a decent season finale, but it's not like an event season finale, you know? It's like it's just like the last episode. They didn't do it, you know. It's a solid good episode. They put a lot of work into it, but it's not like a cliffhanger or building into something. You know, it is building into stuff into the future, but not in like a direct way where we have built to this story. You know, and now something that's been brewing all season is resolved or something set up for next season. It's just a good solid end of the season. I think it shows confidence in their writing and their production, that they don't feel that they have to make it like this huge production. You know, they sort of did that with season two or season one with bringing in the bounty hunters, and it worked, but they're not doing the, like, okay, we got to do that every season, you know. I like that they're just sort of going forward with the story and not having that. It shows the quality of the show and the confidence of the people making it, that they don't feel that they have to, you know, hype up stuff. It's sort of the opposite of what The Walking Dead's been doing the last couple seasons, in my opinion, you know, where they milk it a little bit, you know, and build it up a little, you know, artificially. And, obviously I know it's the season finale because, you know, we're working on the show, so it's, you know, baked into my, you know, the whole thing of it. But it doesn't really, you know, if I watched this just out of context, I wouldn't be like, think of it as a season finale. You know, I would think of it as just another episode in a show.
See, for me, I think it's a good season finale for this season, because this season was Rise of the Bounty Hunters. Mm-hmm. And I like that they brought us back to with the Bounty Hunters, because I'm currently looking at the season one finale. We had the three Ryloth episodes, which was like, you know, big war episodes, but then I actually feel like the season one finale with Cad Bane and Hostage Crisis was actually a little bit more of a finale feel, because like we had all these big battles with Ryloth. It was like, oh man, and they could have ended like a very hopeful note with the victory of Ryloth, but no, they gave us Cad Bane and they upped the stakes and they're like, here's this deadly guy. By the way, this is a war and people are fucking dying. And like it. To me, like, that episode really upped the stakes of Clone Wars. Like, it took it to the next level.
Yeah.
Now, with this season finale, like I said, I like that they brought it back with the Bounty Hunters. But I think the way they upped the ante was by bringing in Boba Fett. Because this is an original character trilogy character. They're filling in a lot of his stories. And I think that was, like, their big ante for these last three episodes. But I think the other thing that really kind of pushed it a little further is the fact that what Clone Wars does well is they show how people start distrusting the Jedi over the course of the war. And Mace did that in the final moments. Like, he started, I think that is like the first step of them laying down the downfall of the Jedi. Because people, like, even like Shan Syndulla was back in the Ryloth episodes, was like, when am I going to start fighting you guys? You know, and like that's just beginning to lay this distrust and showing the chaos in the Jedi Order. And looking, I'm gonna pull up season three right fast. Season three. As we start getting into like season three, like not Rebels, not season three of Rebels, three Clone Wars. We start getting to like a lot more of the politics of war and, you know, a lot more of the clone stuff and stuff like that, but like we're starting to get into more Mandalore stuff. Like we're starting to get into the more distressful stuff. We're starting to get the Night Sisters and like the Mortis art and like how the Jedi are starting to struggle. So I do think this is the first step at that. I just think Hostage Crisis was a better like, oh man, a finale. Well, this is like, we're just going to up the ante just a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think this was a more emotional. This was more of an emotional finale, while season one was more of a plot finale. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. So this is more of a character work versus plot work. So Yeah, and that's all I had. So what was your final thoughts on the episode, Chris? Or unless you want to rebuttal any of that.
No. I thought it was a solid episode. On the upper end of solid episodes, I'm giving it just a half point less than last time, so this one gets a 7.5 because I just enjoyed the R2 hijinks in the last one. But
I went the opposite. I went up.
I was sort of sensing that that's how we were gonna go with this, but I liked it a lot. I almost think of the last two episodes as being sort of, you know, together.
Yeah.
And I like the other one just a little nudge before, but I like both of them an awful lot.
Yeah. I wish I could remember how I voted for Death Trap, because I really like that one too, with all the clone babies.
I think you gave it an 8.5.
Okay, because this is how... I think I did too, and same thing on this one. Like, I went back up with this one, and I gave this one 8.5 as well. Actually, like last week, I actually forgot about this episode. And I forgot how, I knew it had Plo Koon and Ahsoka and like, Boba and stuff like that, but I forgot how good this episode was. Like, and I totally 100% forgot Hondo was in it, and I forgot that him and Aura were dating. Like, I completely forgot about all that. And so it was almost like watching a brand new episode again for me, because I just blanked out on most of it. And I really, really love Evil Queen Aura Singh. Oh, I almost rhymes. And her twisted ways. And I love seeing Boba struggle. And I'm sad over Pons dying. And we got the point of view from the normal people about the war. And it was a super packed and super layered. And you can definitely tell that Dave Filoni wrote and directed it. And I like this finale for season two. I thought it was a good summary of this finale as a whole. So yeah, I gave it an 8.5 out of 10 myself.
Good.
So yeah, I liked it.
Point ahead of me.
I know. But I liked it. If I voted, that's why I was asking. Like, if I did vote Death Trap an 8.5, I liked it just as much as Death Trap, but in a completely different way. I think a lot of it is just because I had forgotten so much of the episode, it did have that new episode feeling for me. So I was just like, yes! It was like watching an episode of Rebels, and it kind of filled in the void of me not being able to see Rebels this week.
Right?
So. Oh, man, Rebels. I love Rebels.
Yeah.
It's such a weird little show, but I love it. So, as always, listeners, we would love to have your feedback. There's several different ways to give us some feedback. First and foremost, you can just write us a review on iTunes and rate the show. And when you write a review on iTunes and rate the show, of course, we'll read it on the show. But it also helps people find the show. So if you like us that much and you want to help other people find the show, give us a shout out and stuff like that. You can also find us on Twitter. But the other big one is the Two True Freaks Facebook page, where we post every episode. And that's where this week's feedback comes from. It comes from our friends Aaron, Mike, Dario, and Gene. And it's for our episode of Senate Murders. And Chris, before you read this, I will let you know, there was like 3 or 4 different subjects for this episode. So I separated each subject with a line, a black horizontal line, to make it a little bit easier for you, except for the one between Gene and Aaron's, because that's a page break. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So yeah, I put down some black lines for you, and I forgot to put one
Excellent.
Right there. Just to help you out, my friend.
All right, so
I tried.
Well, let's see how this goes. All right, we'll see if you succeeded.
Now I'm just realizing there's page break lines too.
Yeah, but they're different. I see they're different kinds of lines. We'll muscle through this. I'll use my brain.
I'm gonna cross stitch.
Aaron Henley says, in the Coruscant justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police droids who investigate murders and the senators who actually solve them. These are their stories. All right, that's not really a question, but we'll move on. Gene Hendricks says, Owen is Luke's step-uncle, by the way. Owen's dad married Anakin's mom, making Owen and Anakin step-brothers. Or Owen is Obi-Wan's brother if we go without prequels and have Tatooine actually as a good hiding place.
Obi-Wan's brothers? Maybe he meant Anakin's brother?
I guess, maybe. Yeah, I'm not okay. sure. I'm not sure what Gene meant there.
Clarify that for us, Gene.
Aaron says, shh, we're not supposed to bring up contradictions from the official novelizations of the film. Disney lawyers are scary. Oh, that might be one of the things that it said in the novelization that, you know, it might have said that Owen and Obi-Wan were somehow related.
Okay. Back when, I don't see how, but
well,
okay.
Yeah. And then, Gene says, they might not like some of my what-if posts on Star Wars then. With a smiley face and a winky face.
Gene, I will tell you one of my favorite things to do in podcasts is play What If. As you have heard in the show before.
Oh, yeah. We've had a few games of that. All right, different subject. Separated by a line. Gene Hendricks says, on another note, it was Michigan J. Frog from One Froggy Evening that we were talking about a couple issues, episodes back.
Yeah, because we couldn't remember the frog name. We were like, what is his name?
Michigan J. Frog.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal.
And then Dario Gonzalez says, and this is sort of turning into a repeat cycle thing, so he's getting mentioned every show now. Dario Gonzalez, thanks for the shout-out. Hope and Chris. Keldon got a kick out of hearing his name. Whose name? Keldon's name? Did Keldon like hearing his name on the show over and over? Keldon. And then he sent, and obviously I can't show them to you because this is a audio medium, but he sent some pictures of us hanging out that I was talking about with Keldon with his huge diorama that he laid out, some of the food we were making, some of the nerds hanging out, and me with that giant ass, probably well over a pound of meat hamburger, literally with my mouth open to illustrate that you could not open your mouth enough to actually bite through the burger.
But if you guys do want to see it, go to our episode for Senate Murders on the Two True Freaks Facebook page and you can see the picture.
Yep. And Mike Zumo said, I'm 35 years old and I still get a kick out of hearing my name unsolicited on someone else's podcast. And Mike Zumo's in those pictures too from Dario's. I got to hang out with Mike Zumo and it was a riot. Everybody that was there that day, Thomas DJ was there, and that was the second time I hung out with him at Dario's, and it was, I think, even more fun the second time. And Gerard De La Tour was there, and he was a really nice guy. It was great.
Mike, I totally, like, know that sentiment, too, because, like my editors at With the Fangirl have a podcast called Other Side of the Mirror, and it's a Once Upon a Time podcast, and I sent them some episode feedback from a Once Upon a Time episode a few weeks ago, and they didn't read it in the episode. I was just like, hey, when are you going to read my name? Did you get my feedback?
So I had a great moment once when I was reading someone's blog, and it was like a link that someone put up. And someone said, as Chris Honeywell said in the Two True Freaks podcast, and I was like, yes!
Whoa, did they, like, send you the thing, or did you just kind of come upon it randomly?
I just came upon it randomly. You know, somebody had posted it, and I was like, oh, I'll read this article. This sounds interesting. I can't remember what it was. It was about Star Trek or Star Wars. I can't, probably Star Trek, if I remember right. It was a couple years ago. But it was just neat to see someone randomly mention my name, you know, in the nerd universe, as if people would know who I was, too. That was what I got the biggest kick out of it, as if there weren't other people, you know. I was reading it going, woohoo, and I'm betting there's nobody else outside of, like, our Two True Freaks listeners was like, oh, as Chris Honeywell said, yeah. I wondered what Chris Honeywell thought about that. Sure, there's a lot of that going around. And, okay, let's see. We have one more new subject with Mike Zumo. Hope is building bridges, finding things Braves fans and Mets fans can agree on. Hatred of Bryce Harper.
And I said, I hope he takes a long swim in a pool of hot lava.
I knew you would. I wouldn't have to read that part.
I hate Bryce Harper. It's okay.
Apparently. There's a lot of passion in that sports world. Mm-hmm. The world of sports. And Aaron Henley followed that up with well, you know, Hope said he hopes he takes a long swim in a pool of lava. And Aaron Henley says, worked for Anakin.
Oh, and when I read that from Anakin, from Aaron, I laughed so hard that, like, my cat was sleeping beside me, and she, like, jumped up and ran off because I was laughing so hard at it.
I've noticed you're one of those people that if you catch it, if you... You have the good laugh when you catch you off guard, when you're not expecting to laugh. That's when it's the most fun to make you laugh.
Yeah, and then sometimes you'll get my evil laugh that we talked about that one episode. Yes. The evil Hope laugh. I don't have an evil laugh. Yes, I do. I know I do now. Anyway.
It's fairly evil, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm glad I can build bridges against hatred of Bryce Harper. So I'm very happy about that. I'm
Mark Mike. Bridges of hatred.
Yes, because my name is Hope.
Why did the chicken cross the bridge to beat Bryce Harper to death?
Okay, I will never risk death on anybody, but I would say that if he ever got traded to the Braves, I would have to have a very, very, very long conversation, thought about my process of life. Like, I don't know what I would do with myself and how I would support him if he was ever traded to the Braves. Like, I don't know. Anyway. So, where can people find you, Chris?
Oh, they know where they can find me, at twotruefreaks.com. And that's spelled just like you would think, twotruefreaks.com. That's our swanky, classy website, gilded, golden website, full of podcasts. We don't mess around. We don't have one of them fancy. Well, we do have a fancy podcast because of the content. But, yeah, it's just basically a big container stuffed full of, 8 years worth of podcasts by now? There's got to be thousands of podcasts in there now. Scott Gardner and I made over 500 just together in there. So, yeah, you got your Star Trek, Star Wars. We're representing the Star Wars right now.
Star Wars represent!
Yeah, you got everything nerd-wise. And the new book podcast called Required Reading with Tom Paterese and Stella has just shown up, and I'm really happy about that. I love books. I love, love, love books. I have a book problem. I have too many books. I just got another... Oh, that's what I'd like to do, is now that I'm actually on someplace where I'm speaking, I'm going to do it on Facebook, too. But I want to thank Joshua Persons for sending me a giant box full of Star Trek books. It's unbelievable. Probably, like, 30, 40, 50 Star Trek paperbacks, including all the Star Trek logbooks of the adaptations of the Star Trek animated series, which I've needed for a long time. They're hard to find. They're not hard to find, they're hard to get without paying a good amount of money for them, or more than I would want to spend for a paperback book, anyway. So now my collection is complete, so Joshua Persons, you're a hero. I hope you listen to this podcast.
Well, that's actually not a bad idea, because I guess, like, I didn't actually think about ever thanking anybody publicly on here. So if we are thanking people, I want to thank David Walker for sending me all the Thrawn Trilogy comic books.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, shit, I haven't had a chance to read them yet. But
oh,
I'm
you
just...
know what, Hope? Somebody just sent me those comic books, too.
It might have been Dave Walker as well.
No, why is his name? David Pasquarella. He sent me a bunch of Star Wars hardcovers, and in it was those. Maybe that's something in the future you and I can cover together, since we both have them now.
The Thrawn comics?
Yeah, and Thrawn's becoming a character in Rebels, so it'll be easy to link them together.
That's true, because, like, I know we want to do the Clone Wars comics at some point, or at least Kanan the Last Padawan, so...
Yeah, I'm really looking... I actually pulled those out the other day and set them up next to my bed for pre-sleep reading, so I'm going to be reading those pretty soon.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dave, for sending them to me.
That's a long... And let's just say this. David Walker's in Ireland, right?
I don't know.
I believe so.
I don't know.
I want to
say.
Don't put me
on the spot. I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm saying
I don't know where anybody lives.
He had to send those a long way.
Okay. Well, you can find me. I don't want to be on the spot. I only know where you live and Scott Gardner just because I know he works at Disney. That's all I know. I don't know where anybody else lives.
Oh, you should check that package. It's probably got some nice international stamps and...
No, he sent me CBR files.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah, he sent me
CBR files. I was
going to
say, that would have cost him a small fortune to mail those from where he is. That would have cost like $30 to send those across the sea.
Across the pond. Anyway, you can find me at whatthefangirl.com on the newsbeat writer for that. I also run the Jay Guys and Jedi Twitter, and you can find us at Jay Guys and Jedi, and you can also find me at Hope Molinax. And Chris, I had a funny thought, like, we should set it up one day and just, like, not tell anybody, and you just be like, you can find me at whatthefangirl.com. Like,
see if anybody notices.
Yeah, but now that I told everybody.
Maybe someday I'll write your column for a week and see if anybody notices.
That would piss my editor off so much.
I've been thinking about starting a blog, actually, Hope, but it would be non-nerd.
You should. Maybe, like, I know, like, we've been talking about getting a new, like, revamp for the Two True Freaks website and having blogs and stuff, so I really would, like, I hope we get that done.
Well, in my research for my own blog, I'm thinking it might be easy to set up the Two True... I'm still working on the Two True Freaks blog. That's not... I haven't dropped that idea for sure.
Yeah, and doing our overhaul of the website and stuff, so... Hey, if you're a webmaster and know how to work with websites and don't mind working for free and have, like, a resume building, just want to do something for resume building, just hit up Chris.
Yeah.
Because we are looking to really revamp our websites.
Yeah, we'd like to dress up our website and add a blog to it so we can blog.
And I would like to be able to where you can open separate pages. So if we want to put up like a Throwback Thursday and go to episode 32 of our podcast, we can open up just that one page. That's what I want.
All right, little wannabe webmasters, get a hold of us. Twitter us.
Please.
Facebook us.
Facebook will probably be better because Chris isn't on Twitter. It's me, but then I can send you in the right direction. So
I don't like the Twitters. I don't like it.
That's fine. It doesn't like you either.
No, it doesn't.
Well, I don't. Oh my gosh, we get to next week. We get to watch episode one.
Christmas time is coming, boys and girls.
Ah, I'm so excited! Like, didn't we come up with this plan like back in March?
It was a while ago, but now it's right on top of us. Hope and I both have episode one on our hard drives, and we're ready to do our first commentary together.
I haven't seen it since I was 8. I'm so excited about it.
I'm so excited about like seeing your reactions to it. I'm more excited about 2 and 3 because those are gonna be more Anakin-y, you know, Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme. It'll have the Clone Wars characters in it, but I'm still excited over the whole general thing.
Yeah, like I just
Yeah, I think I know Scott Gardner and I have done commentaries for all the 3 prequel movies, but I gotta tell you this will be different because we'll be probably putting them really in a Clone Wars context. I think there'll be a lot of talk about how the Clone Wars have made the prequel trilogy better.
The only thing is, I'm gonna just the whole time just be like, "Where's Rex?
There were no Rex."
I know, there's no Rex.
Well, you'll be able to look into Seas of Clones and think maybe that's Rex. You'll see a cylinder go by and maybe Rex is in that cylinder.
Oh, but at least they'll have Commander Pons again.
Yeah, he'll
that's
be alive.
True.
All your favorite
alive.
Clones will be alive.
No, all my favorite clones are not alive. All my favorite clones are not in the movies, I know. Because here are my favorite clones.
Well, they are, you just don't see them. They're in the crowd, like but Rex, you know they're there and they're alive.
It's Fives and Kix and Jesse and they're my favorites. And Top and Wolf and Gregor. Oh, I love clones. I can't wait.
And Greasy and Drippy and...
It's Thimble.
Pandemonium.
Oh, man, but I'm like super, super, super excited about next week and seeing Qui-Gon and Maul and the whole gang and Jar Jar. Man, we haven't had Jar Jar in a while either.
Oh, you're gonna get your Jar Jar. You'll get your fill of Jar Jar.
That's
here
a good
comes
thing
Jar Jar.
All the Jar Jar. All
there you go, Jar-Jar. Folks. That's the stinger that'll bring him back next week. Here comes Jar Jar.
I could really, really, really make you upset because I could spend the entire episode one movie trying to prove how Jar Jar is a Sith Lord.
Please do.
Please play that music right now. Sith Lord Jar Jar.
Aww.
I like that music whenever I'm.
That's all it is.
Like, I love that music. We haven't had a good Jar Jar theory in a long time.
Yeah, get ready.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm so excited. So next
hunker
week,
down.
Next week, episode one.
Scooch up, week, kiddies. Scooch
next
up.
Week, episode one. I'm so excited. Okay, guys. Well, until next week. Happy end of season two. We did it.
Yes, we survived it.
Yay. So, see you next time. Yay! I don't know what voice I'm doing. The fear of the unknown!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
And this is your Uncle Don saying good night.
Good night, little kids. Good night.
We're off?
Good. Well, that ought to hold the little bastards.